Sports Minutes with Elliot Danker and Ziaul Roshan.
Money FM 89.3. It is now time for Sports Minutes. Elliot Danker and Ziaul Roshan checking in. Today, we are finally going to talk about football.
Yes, we are. And it's quite an exciting topic on the back of Ashley Cole being the latest inductee into that Premier League Hall of Fame. Well-deserved, in my opinion.
Let's talk about Ashley Cole. You ever wish he would play for your team?
I must say, I felt like he was always one of those cult heroes, not necessarily playing for my team, Manchester United, because we were well stocked in the left-back department, but I always rated him as a defender, although I think Arsenal fans do bear a grudge because he obviously swapped to go to Chelsea, right?
So what is it about Ashley Cole, or back then nicknamed when during that swap, Cashley Cole?
Exactly.
What about him makes him a Hall of Famer? I'll go first. I think he came at a time where that attacking fullback was something we didn't see a lot in the Premier League. Yes, we did, but not quite in the vein of Ashley Cole, how far forward he went. You know, the only other place you would see something like that, and I'm not trying to compare the two, but probably Roberto Carlos?
Mm. Yes, you're absolutely right. I think he revolutionized that fullback role. It's changed a lot in this day and age in terms of inverted fullbacks and stuff like that. But Ashley Cole was a revolutionary fullback in that sense where he attacked as well as he defended. And I think that's important, right? He never let go of his defensive duties. And I recall plenty of time watching him and Ronaldo go toe-to-toe because Ronaldo plays on the right wing, he's a left-back, and that Manchester United-Arsenal rivalry at that point was at its peak, and then Manchester United-Chelsea, obviously. So he was really what you would want in terms of a modern fullback. And I know plenty of people level this accusation that he left Arsenal for Chelsea to win, but I think that almost adds to the layer of his ambition, and I respect that.
Yeah, and I think that we're coming more to terms as a society on people leaving one club to go to another club to win. Mm. Because at the end of the day, for us, we're fans, right? Mm. We are paying to watch these teams. But for them, they're getting paid to do a job. They're getting paid for a profession. So obviously, they want to win something. They want to have something to show for it. And this is why Harry Kane was accused of that for so long. Should have gone to City to win things, but instead decided after so long to go to Bayern Munich. That's another story for another day. But back to Ashley Cole, I like how you describe how he revolutionized the fullback game, because in today's day and age, that type of fullback is what everybody wants. And dare I say, because of Ashley Cole, we don't play with two strikers anymore.
Yeah, it was a trailblazer in that sense, in terms of the bigger knock-on effect for the rest of the tactics, because I think when Ashley Cole rose to prominence, there was that shift away from a 4-4-2 to a 4-3-3. Like you say, we went towards one striker because you can count on your fullbacks to supply ammunition for your strikers to score as well. Fun fact I picked out, Ashley Cole was a striker in his younger days, so that probably explains why he is so good at attacking. But again, I think we speak often about Ashley Cole and his attacking prowess, but defensively he was such a good defender, not just for Arsenal and Chelsea, but for England as well.
So yesterday they unveiled this short list for the 2024 Hall of Fame. So apart from Ashley Cole, which we will continue talking about, there's another Cole in there in the form of Andy Cole or Andrew Cole, just to run you through the list before we dissect them. Sol Campbell, Les Ferdinand, David Silva, come on. Michael Carrick, Robbie Fowler, John Terry, Andy Cole, Eden Hazard, Yaya Toure, Jermaine Defoe, Gary Neville, Edwin van der Sar, Cesc Fabregas, Michael Owen, and Nemanja Vidic.
Yeah, that's like my Fantasy Premier League team from the years gone by, some of the names you're mentioning. But yeah, all of them are legends in their own right. And obviously, we're talking about making that step up from legend to Hall of Famer. If you ask me, all those names there probably deserve it.
What do you notice about the Hall of Fame? I mean, we've covered for this Hall of Fame thing for about 2 years now. I think we did it last year as well. And I personally notice, right, they're trying to do, and again, this is personal, they're trying to do something a little bit better than the Ballon d'Or. Mm. Because you notice there are more defenders in this list.
There certainly is. To make that point on defenders, I think Ashley Cole is only the third defender to enter that Hall of Fame. So I think they've addressed that
by
naming more defenders in this list. And there are absolutely some stellar defenders in that pack. Just Gary Neville, who doesn't get the credit he deserved because he's gone on to become such a broadcaster. But even Sol Campbell, for me, was a colossal defender who again crossed that divide and then added a layer of intrigue to his folklore almost.
I'm quite glad that John Terry has finally made that list. I mean, you consider this guy who started out at right back, went to centre back, became more than just a defender. He became somewhat a symbol for Chelsea in all those winning years, a symbol of Mourinho, for that matter. Then, of course, you've got Nemanja Vidic, which is a bit of a no-brainer. Imagine those two playing together.
Yeah, what a partnership that would have been, right? John Terry, for me, I know he played for a rival Chelsea team, but in terms of defensive prowess, he was at the peak, especially that partnership he formed with Ricardo Cavallo. But you make that excellent point. During that Russian revolution, shall I call it, at Chelsea, he was the poster boy almost, alongside Lampard and then to a later extent Didier Drogba, I guess. But John Terry was front and centre of that club, wore that armband to a T almost. And I know he had the headlines for some wrong reasons, but on the pitch itself, he was very hard to knock off as a defender.
Let's have some fun with this, shall we? Since we are on this theme of defenders, do you personally have any defenders in your own list that you feel are underrated defenders?
100%. I mean, just looking at the Hall of Fame shortlist that you've mentioned, there have already some names that for me deserve a shout out there. Dennis Irwin is one who stands out for me. Yeah. Absolute legend of Manchester
Only
United.
Missed one penalty kick in his whole life.
Exactly. Dependable, had leadership, could take set pieces. And I guess that was very different for a left back to be taking penalties back in the day as well.
Free kicks too. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And he was one of Sir Alex Ferguson's lieutenants almost in that all conquering Manchester United team.
Manchester United.
And I guess Dennis Irwin for me, alongside plenty of people who are talking about this on X as well, that he deserves to at least get a nomination. So my first pick for underrated defender or forgotten defender, I dare say, is Dennis Irwin.
Okay, let's go for as long as we can. I'll pick another one. And he was part of Gerard Houllier revolution at Liverpool. Sammy Hoopier.
Great defender.
Yeah, very sturdy, very stable. And you know, that's the thing, right? Where I remember Gerard Houllier going into Liverpool and he bought like, what, 12 players? Or I could be wrong with the number, but it was a massive clear out, right? And you see this philosophy where you build from the back. Strong centre-backs makes a strong foundation for a team.
Yeah, it certainly is. He used to be the captain before Steven Gerrard took over the armband as well. Great Finnish centre-back. And I think deserves recognition in that sense. For me, my second pick is this Spurs defender who played for England as well. He's Ledley King. The reason I say he's criminally underrated is because this guy couldn't train week in, week out because he had wonky knees.
Yep.
Yet, he put in such great shifts. So, he often begs the question, imagine if this guy could train at the peak of his powers, how much he could have achieved. And I think Ledley King, in that sense, was robbed of so much more because of his injuries.
Okay, that's a good one. I'll give you another one. This guy is an Arsenal man, England player as well. And I think he's underrated because he's not the most stylish. He's not the most skillful, but man, he is a brick wall, and I mean it in all sense. Aggressive, strong, no nonsense, Martin Keown.
Yep, certainly part of that illustrious Arsenal team alongside the likes of Sol Campbell, probably even Tony Adams, and that Arsenal team that was known for defense,
Nigel
right?
Winterburn,
exactly.
Lee
all
Dixon,
those exactly
the bad boys, you know.
Yeah, and I take your point. Probably not the most stylish of defenders, but certainly
you're scared.
Exactly, And judging by how often he got picked for Arsenal, probably one of the highest rated defenders by Arsene Wenger and George Graham at that time as well. Yeah. So definitely Martin Keown. My next pick is another Liverpool man, and it's Daniel Agger. I feel he was such a good defender at the wrong time for Liverpool almost. Yeah, we talk about things having to line up to go out and achieve things in your career. It lined up well for Virgil van Dijk in recent times in terms of what Liverpool is achieving. But for Daniel Agger, such a great defender, so loyal as well to Liverpool. And let's be honest, it would have been difficult to be loyal to that Liverpool team because they were meandering slightly. So for him to stay on at the club, not want to leave even when there were opportunities to leave, I think Daniel Agger deserves credit.
I'll pick one last one at my end, and I'm going out of the Premier League for this one. A guy who played in Serie A as well as La Liga. And I think when you look at this guy, right, this defender, he's a World Cup winner, by the way, you don't think too much of him. A handsome boy, not the tallest, but somehow he's a first pick for the team. And then when you look at him, and again, this is just based on looks, like, how are you a first team player? I'm talking about Fabio Cannavaro, one of my favorite centre backs of all time. And when I look at our own Lisandro Martinez, I'm going, yeah, well, it can be done, you know, given the physicality.
Exactly. And Fabio Cannavaro, I believe, was one of the first or only defenders to win the Ballon d'Or all those years ago as well. So after leading the Italy team to the World Cup, if I'm not wrong. So outstanding defender and certainly a great pick. You know, my last pick is someone who is of the same generation of Fabio Cannavaro, but the funny thing is he's still playing. I think I gave it away. We talked about this guy last week, I believe. He's Pepe. Just for the longevity alone, I think Pepe deserves a shout in terms of all-time great defenders, because I feel more often than not, the headlines are hogged with his aggression and red cards and argy-bargy, shall we call it. But the fact that he's still going strong at Porto at 39 years of age deserves massive credit, lest we forget everything he achieved at Real Madrid during those illustrious years as well.
You know, I think that's probably the best pick of the lot that you gave us. Pepe is someone that doesn't get enough credit, golden generation, in fact, part of two golden generations. And, you know, when you look at, I mean, I'm not saying the current Portuguese defenders are bad. There are some really talented ones. Silva for one of them, Gonzalo Inacio for another. But you kind of feel like if I bring this old granddaddy Pepe, it will make a huge difference. And quite frankly, how many people can get past him even in this day and age?
Exactly. And you talk about all the elder statesmen that we mentioned, so to speak, right? I feel, while yes, there's so much new talent coming through, these elder statesmen offer so much in terms of experience, in terms of reading the game. Because while the game has evolved, the defensive side of things remains, for me at least, the same. And these elder statesmen can afford so much experience in that sense.
While we celebrate the Premier League Hall of Fame shortlist, it is not without a little bit of controversy, or would you consider it controversy? As people have pointed out that Manchester United legend Ryan Giggs has been overlooked for this 15-player shortlist for this year. Despite him holding that record, 13 Premier League winners' medals, he has made 632 Premier League appearances. So you can't say it's because of a lack of appearances. He's not been considered for the first three induction cycles. And of course, that's due to these ongoing legal proceedings.
Yeah,
it's so sad.
I think that is the elephant in the room, right? Despite so much, achieving so much on the football pitch, he's gone on to get a bit of a reputation off it. And while those legal ramifications play themselves out, I think it's going to be difficult for him to be considered a Hall of Famer in that sense.
But, so you're saying that a Hall of Famer has to be all-encompassing, you know, has to be, I mean, but we have John Terry in there.
You are absolutely spot on.
Just give a call to Wayne Bridge.
Exactly, you're absolutely spot on.
But was that as big as what Ryan Giggs is going through?
And I think that's the problem, because there's recency bias as well. So while you bring up John Terry and Wayne Bridge, football fans of our generation will remember that because we grew up with that storyline. Yeah. But over time, it's been forgotten, and John Terry has managed to recalibrate his image, almost becoming assistant manager and probably trying to become a manager. With Ryan Giggs, I feel the legal proceedings are still ongoing. And when you talk about Hall of Famer, you want them to be an ambassador for the Premier League, right? Is an ambassador...
Okay.
Is it fair that an ambassador is embroiled in something outside of the football pitch at the moment? I think that's weighing on their minds. But if you ask me as a fan, Ryan Giggs has to be up there.
So no Joey Barton either, yeah?
No, definitely not.
Sports Minutes on Money FM 89.3.